So good morning, everybody. Good to be with you. The two readings that Adrian Rang read just now are the theme at the end that I'm wanting really to talk about. So I will come back to them, and if it's possible, at the back, to when I say, can you put them up again?
It's me.
Oh, that's you. Yeah. Okay, Radiant. Right. That's fine. I am actually starting what I want to say with Adrian. Scriptures from last week. If you remember, he was talking about us from a passage in 1 Corinthians about the foolishness of God in comparison to the wisdom of this world. And you often meet people who will say to you, or I do sometimes, how can I believe in somebody I can't see who lived 2,000 years ago, who was killed in the end, and it's an ancient story, I living in the now and the here and now, and therefore I've got to form my own life and organize that on the basis of modern things that are going on in the 21st century. And we come back to what Paul wrote in those passage where he said, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become righteousness, holiness, and redemption, and is the wisdom from God. And he uses the phrase in Christ in that. And in a later passage in 2 Corinthians, he writes, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So what Paul is saying there is that something fundamental has changed when we are in Christ. It is something which takes us into a whole different world. We use sometimes, perhaps it's too hackneyed, the word born again. But actually that phrase does express it in many ways. We are now a different person to the one we were when we were simply just leading business as usual for our life and just having to fix the things as we went about it. So it's something which is fundamental to us, that we are a new creation, that we are in Christ. Jesus had a ministry of 3 years, really, all that. And we can say that he was a person with great miraculous powers. But he knew that actually miracles in the end aren't what change people's lives. Yes, he fought that battle in the desert with the enemy when they said, cast yourself from the top of the temple and turn stones into bread and things. And he knew that he didn't want to be a miracle worker. He performed miracles, but he knew that in the end, miracles don't change people's hearts, not in the long term. What he wanted to do and what he was there to do, which is why he spoke to so many individuals, was to move right into us and change our hearts so that we have a fundamentally different attitude to the whole of life from what we did. I think that we don't realize that sometimes, when I first made my commitment to Christ. I just thought, he's alive and I can have contact with him, that's fantastic. It took some time for me to start to see what it meant that actually it meant I'd got to have a completely different view of life, and that some of the things I took for granted in my behaviour and the way I lived were actually not good at all. And my ambitions and the things that I was thinking I wanted to do, be a big cabinet minister and a banker and all that type of thing, when I looked at the Sermon on the Mount and the call to be poor in spirit and to be merciful and to be, I thought, I'm nowhere near any of that. That's something which is just alien. And so as God has moved me into that new position by entering into me by his Holy Spirit, then those things changed. And that's probably the answer to the person that was talking to me, because what Jesus said when he left his disciples was, I need to go away, because until I go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. And what can Jesus do wandering around, staying around here? He could only talk to a few people and try and convert them, etc. He needed to go and be replaced by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us in Christ, that is in us and keeps us in Christ. And it's not old-fashioned stuff going back 2,000 years and a story about that. Jesus is still alive. The Holy Spirit is still alive. So they're within us. And they're not old-fashioned things that tell us things about what happened all those years ago. They're things that guide us in our life. In fact, the Holy Spirit and Jesus know things that we don't know. They probably know a whole series of experiments and things in science and technology and all these other things that are going to come in the future. We don't know that. So we're not out of date with Jesus, not at all in those sorts of ways. But we have now got, we're now in our new world. And that's a tremendous responsibility for us. We look at this world in a different way from those who are not in Christ. The way we live, our behavior, our priorities, our ambitions, our relationships, our different and separate ways of living. And that continues. We have a responsibility. I don't want to say the words, we're separate from other people, because we're not wanting to be separate from other people, and we aren't. But what happens when we come into a relationship with Jesus, that even some of the good things that we have, or things that we enjoy doing, may just fade in our experience, as they did for me. The things that my work was good, all those things were fine. But actually, they just faded, and other things became much more important. We find ourselves becoming less conscious about ourselves, or less concerned about ourselves, and much more about other people. We find ourselves led into different fields of work and activity. We can find ourselves mixing with a different group of people, and looking at our neighbours in quite a different way from the way we are, and our community from quite a different way that we have been. We begin to understand different social and class backgrounds. Our hearts are softened, our opinions altered, our experiences widened, our ambitions are changed, our tolerance is extended, our love and tenderness grow. And all those things have come about because we are in Christ, and therefore we are in a different relationship, in a different world, in a sense, from the world that others are in. Of course, we still make mistakes. We get into awkward situations. We have unpleasant experiences and difficulties, problems which don't seem capable of solving. We're at the moment with quite a lot of people who are quite seriously ill. But then what did the Spirit of God do supremely in Jesus? As well as being able to bring healing to people, deliverance, hope, a new freedom and joy, which is, I hope, what we are capable of doing as we move forward, he also experienced opposition, abuse, mistreatment, anger, and finally an extremely painful death. And if we have the same Spirit within us, isn't Jesus in Christ, then we may be asked to experience those things too. We're asked to follow in the footpaths of Jesus, and that can be very hard, as it was for him. Paul writes, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is God." We should not talk and act in words taught by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Holy Spirit. And so, coming back to the two readings that I started with, if we could have the first one, Adrian. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And it ends, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, Jesus seems to be primarily talking about money in both these readings, but I'm sure he wasn't just talking about money. When he's talking about our treasure, I think what he means is, what are the things that we treasure most in our lives? What are the things that actually control or mean most in our lives? And that's why it was such a good song that Adrian chose before, which talks about our idols. What are the things that are, you know, if they were taken away from us, we would be feeling really bad about, you know, that I'd lost something really serious in my life. And so what he's saying is, but store up treasures in heaven. How do we store up treasures in heaven? Well, I believe it is some of the things that I've just been talking about, what the quality of our life is. Jesus said to his disciples, one of the sayings he said was, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." And there are loads of apocryphal stories about when someone gets to the gates of heaven, what's said to them and what happens to them there and what they are able to be asked, and etc. And one of them was about a very rich and successful man here on earth who went up to heaven and was expecting, you know, a very big mansion and being received with acclamation. And he was received at the gate, and they said, "Yes, here we are." And he walked, the guide who had him walked him through some fantastic mansions up there. And then they got to the rather lesser houses and things, and they got to some really poor ones at the end. And the idol and the guide said to him, "This is your place," put there. And of course, great explosion of anger and contempt and etc. Well, that's pathetic. And so the guide said, "Yes, I can see you might feel that. The difficulty is you sent nothing up here during your lifetime for us to make anything decent out of it when we got here. And we've done our best, but this is about the best we could do for you. So I'm afraid this is it." And that may talk to us about rewards in heaven, and there are rewards in heaven. It does speak about, you know, what, and particularly it talks about people who have been very poor in this world, have been disadvantaged, who've been neglected, who actually still lead a good life, still, even in the midst of all that difficulty that they've had, are able to lead a life in Jesus. that they are the ones that are going to get the greatest reward because their difficulty has been greater than people who are fairly rich and have managed to do that too. And it may appear to us that we shouldn't be doing it in order to get a nice big mansion in heaven, that that's not the motive. The motive is actually that our lives here are much more fulfilled, even though there are tough times, even though that if the spirit of Jesus is active within us, then actually it's fulfilling and full of joy in itself. And so that is why, and we can tell that the question is, where is your treasure? That's the question. Are there things in our life which are really important? Is it our status or our job? Is it our family? Is it the pastimes we've got or the sport or the things that we spend a lot of time with? Are they really the most important things? And so that's a question for us to ask. And then the second one is the story of what's called the rich young ruler. And this guy, I think, genuinely had a desire to follow God, to make his life follow. When he asked the question, it's a perfectly genuine question, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus is replying to him, well, you know them, it's written, all the commandments about not murdering, not doing this and that and the other. Well, Jesus says, there's one, if you want to enter in life, keep the commandments. And so he says, well, which ones? He inquired, and Jesus says, all these ones that are there. And I believe his response, all these I have kept, was a genuine response. He felt that he had been keeping those commandments. And so he then asks, what do I still lack? And that's the question. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And I believe that Jesus was genuinely loved this guy and responded to him. He was trying to lead the life that God wanted him to do. And I think Jesus was just as sad when he walked away as the man was. And I hope, we don't know how that story ends, that I hope in due course he came to realize that and was able to respond to it as he would be. And so I think those are the two questions. Where is my treasure and what do I lack if I'm really to be of the status of being in Christ and actually having the responsibility to be Christ in this world to other people. And Adrian read that great passage from Hebrews at the beginning. You know, we are in the presence of Almighty God, and we come together with all the angels and archangels when we meet together and live our lives together, and it's an awe-inspiring job to do, and we have the responsibility to do that. So I just leave you with that question in your mind. Where is my treasure? And what do I lack? Amen.